It is Monday, St. Patrick's Day, 2014. It's the Gerwick Report podcast. I am Steve Gerwick, along with Frank D. And as always, Gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news. Tonight will be your Raw coverage of the SmackDown tapings during the week. We've got coverage of Impact. We've got coverage of SmackDown. We'll have coverage of WrestleMania 30 here in a couple of weeks. We're going to talk about that card. Also want to encourage you to go to Gerwick.net right now and vote on the greatest Intercontinental Champion Tournament. We're in the getting close to the Sweet 16 round. Things are getting interesting. And also this month, vote for Diamond Dallas Page. Should he be in the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame? We're going to have some thoughts on that as well. And as always, how you doing, Frank D?
See, I'm doing excellent. First thing I want to say, though, is a happy birthday to my mother, who her birthday was the other day, so I want to say happy birthday to her. And also, happy birthday to my cousin William today. His birthday as well. Other than that, copacetic, my man.
Awesome. Well, hopefully they're listening and they could hear those shout-outs. And I want to give everybody a shout-out that has contacted us, either email, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know that they're listening to the podcast. We definitely appreciate you listening. And I think in the future, something Frank D. and I have talked about, is really doing a section, as we did on the old Gerwick Report hotline, having some interaction with the readers or listeners, and just doing a section on our podcast where we just talk about what you want to talk about, the readers, the listeners out there. So if there's topics you want us to discuss, a question you might have that you want us to talk about, and I can think back to the days of the voicemail we used to do on the hotline where we would do a 90-minute report, and majority of the report was centered on the readers or the listeners' comments,
yeah,
the callers at the time. Yeah, the caller voicemail that we would do. We would have a long segments of so-and-so would say, you know, this about Raw or this about Impact or somebody got released, they had comments, and we would just, get into it, talk about it. So if there is something out there you want us to discuss, a topic, a hot topic, an old topic, a topic you haven't been heard discussed in a long time. I mean, we brought up the last podcast was Brett versus Shawn. I know Frank D has an idea of maybe going back and reliving WCW and talk about, the good, the bad, the ugly, what could have been, potential feuds, how they could have really, really put a stranglehold on Vince's business. So if there's a topic out there that you would like us to discuss, tweet me at Gerwick on Twitter. I'm on Facebook, and you can also email me betweentheropes@hotmail.com. And I know the Body Slam podcast has their own Twitter page. Maybe that'll be something that me and Frank D look into, is having our own Twitter page for this podcast where you can just, tweet a comment and we can, jot it down or put it in the archives. And then when it's time for podcast time, we can definitely discuss that. So definitely want your interaction here on our podcast. And I know Frank D, thinking back to those old voicemail reports that we did, we would do, 90 minutes, and we'd maybe do, 10, 15 minutes of news, and then we just the rest of it was just what the readers or the callers wanted to talk about.
Exactly. I remember when I first discovered the Gerwick Report hotline, it was actually February of 2005, and it was a Kimberly Page interview. It's when I first started listening and started calling in as a caller, and then later on a contributor with Michael T back in the day doing some stuff. So the meat of the report hotline at the time was just the caller voicemail. That's all I was pretty much interested in, was having my, questions answered. So it's a good way to interact with with the listeners and the readers of the site. And I think it'd be something that people would enjoy.
And then I remember, too, that we brought you on, and you, Michael T, and Shock from the Bronx.
Absolutely.
A large discussion on the video games at that time. So if there's a video game question, Frank D can answer video game questions.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean,
any of the wrestling games.
Yeah, we got WWE 2K15 going to be coming out this year. And, I mean, if there's anything out there pretty much that you guys want to ask a question about and talk about, Steve and I will handle it. I mean, if there's a question you want to answer to, I'm pretty sure I can find the answer to it. So it's a good way to interact.
Frank D's like a walking encyclopedia of knowledge, so, and he remembers things that I don't remember. Sometimes somebody will email me and they'll say, a specific pay-per-view, and I'll shoot Frank an email, he'll know the answer. So if there's anything out there that you want us to discuss, pay-per-views, network, WWE Network, TV shows, video games, wrestlers you haven't talked about in a long time, or if you want to talk about what's currently going on as well. Do you like Raw? Do you like SmackDown? Do you want SmackDown to move to Tuesday nights?
Come on. You know nobody likes SmackDown.
Do you want Impact to go live every week? Well, I guess that's fine.
Well, I mean, Monday Night War again, right?
Yeah, maybe they can move Monday night, and hey, we could have Impact versus Raw.
Again, huh?
Round two.
Yeah, round two. And TNA will finally get knocked out for good.
You know, the brilliance was, you know, we put it on, it's that old adage, you know, if they build it, if you build it, they will come. Well, if they put it on Monday night, of course, people are going to watch it, right?
No. No, because no. It's not like the old days of Raw versus Nitro, must-see Monday night television. I got to see it. I mean, come on. You know, nobody cares about TNA. The time they care about TNA was a long time ago when they were on Wednesday nights doing their thing, but nobody cares about that promotion anymore, and I'm pretty sure we'll get into that at some point on this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got a number of topics to discuss, but first we want to talk about the current issues, and I know one issue that's been front and center on our podcast, really since we've been, you know, launched this specific podcast, is the WWE Network. We did a podcast on the initial launch and all the glitches they had with Roku and PlayStation and Xbox, et cetera. People having trouble streaming it. And then we did another podcast where, you know, once it was up and what we thought was, you know, fully functional or close to fully functional, we had a chance to, you know, view the content. We liked a lot of the content. Here's a video library full of WWE, WCW, ECW content. We got World Class on there. We got ECW. And, you know, eventually we'll probably have other promotions show up as well. And we liked the content. We're like, hey, this is pretty good. And I remember the one podcast where we really put it over as a good investment. If you're a wrestling fan and you like the old stuff, definitely give it a shot. But, Frank, since that last podcast we talked about WWE Network, we've come across some issues. I know I did a quick blurb on Facebook after I saw Starrcade 85, and something you alluded to on a different podcast was they dubbed out the Midnight Express music. They've dubbed out the Rock and Roll Express music, and I know you've gotten into other issues with the music. And Frank D., since we've talked last about the WWE Network, I think your opinion has changed a little bit on the overall value of your money.
Well, here's the deal, man. A lot of people out there who have successfully watched the network's on-demand content as far as the pay-per-views will know that it is WWE false advertising at its best when they said unedited, uncut, uncensored. Well, that's not exactly the case. Lots and lots and lots of music edits on the WWE network. And I understand the whole copyright issue, but my problem is that when I purchased DVDs over the past few years, the best of Nitro, the best of the NWO Revolution that came out a few years ago. When you watch DVDs and you hear Diamond Dallas Page, Self High Five, the Nirvana, and you hear the Man Called Sting and the Steiner Brothers, Steiner Rise, and, you know, Johnny B. Bad, you heard all this stuff on WWE Classics on Demand. To see it or to hear it dubbed over on the network is mind-boggling to me, since I know for a fact that a lot of this music that was made by Jimmy Hart. And Jimmy Hart, I would believe, would be the copyright holder to this music. So why DDP's theme song is all of a sudden dubbed over, I don't understand. And to me, it hurts the overall experience that they're going for, which is the nostalgic experience. It hurts it. It hurts it when I see the Midnight Express with Jim Cornette come out and you don't hear the Midnight Express theme song. You don't hear it. You hear it dubbed over with some generic crap that doesn't even match it. You know, I would say, hey, listen, at least get a satellite song that sounds similar to what they had. And there's plenty of songs out there that kind of sound like the Midnight Express. But they just put anything they want to on there. I mean, they got Sting coming out on there. I you know, I don't know if you noticed or not, Steve, but it's a lawsuit right now that's currently going on involving a guy named, I believe his name is Frank Zappa or somebody out of Texas. He is suing WWE right now for the music he worked on in WCW. And some of the songs that he worked on were The Man Called Sting, which is the reason why that's being dubbed over. Johnny B. Badd's theme song he used. The Steiner Brothers, Steiner Rise is another one. Ron Simmons, Too Cold Scorpio. There's a lot of stuff that's going on with that legally. Also, the Freebirds theme song is being dubbed over as well due to this
Bad
lawsuit.
Street USA.
Bad Street USA is dubbed over.
Wow.
Yep, it's gone. So they apparently what happened is the guy was contacted by THQ. Those damn THQ people contacted this guy and said, hey, we want to use, we want to know if we can use, we're trying to check the copyright certification to use Bad Street USA, I guess, in one of the video games. And he found out that somehow the copyright was changed, that I guess Michael Hayes changed the copyright over to WWE, as if WWE had to create the songs. So that's where they're in a court right now trying to determine the outcome of his lawsuit. I guess the guy feels he's owed royalties by WWE. So until this matter is finished, the songs are being dubbed over, which is like, it sucks if you're a fan, and it sucks if you have a network, because that is not what they said when they launched this network, and it's not what they said in January of what we were going to get. So it really, I mean, honestly, it really pisses me off, because you know, I'm not on a free trial here. I'm paying my $10 a month, and so far, all I've gotten is edited this, dubbed over that, no new Jack on ECW, all the ECW pay-per-views, majority of all the cussing and swearing has been bleeped up. So I don't understand when they come in with this whole uncensored, unedited thing. I don't get it.
Yeah, we've seen they edit out the cat that on the one pay-per-view where she revealed her, took her top off. They edited that. Somebody told me they edited out the Sid injury as well.
Yeah, I can't confirm that. Yeah, the Sin. I was actually looking at that because I got a text message from you. I believe it was maybe Sunday, so Saturday night, something like that. And I went back and looked at it last night, and they did. They cut right to the from where Sid, you know, had Jeff Jarrett outside. Sid, I guess, hit a spot in the ring where he was going to come down on Steiner, and that's when he came down in his leg, and it, you know, it was crazy. But they cut to the back where Flair and Road Warrior Animal are coming in, and that's all you remember. That's all you see. So they never really show you the injury. And in fairness to that, I don't want to see that. I don't care about seeing that.
I don't want to see it either, but again, it goes back to the argument, is it uncut, uncensored? And it seems strange that they would dub that out, because it kind of changes the flow of the pay-per-view.
Well, yeah, because you don't know what the hell happened. That's true.
Yeah.
You don't know what happened.
Yeah, so it doesn't make makes little sense in the logic of watching the show itself, you know, years later. Again, it just goes back to the argument of uncut, uncensored. You know, the thing with the music is just mind-boggling to me, because, like I said, I was watching one of the pay-per-views, and it was the Midnight Express, and I can't imagine the Midnight Express coming out with anything but the Midnight Express music from the movie Midnight
right.
Express. And then the Rock and Roll Express was the old ELO song.
Yeah.
Llama, 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 Rock and Roll is King. That was dubbed out. And then it just – I know I've had this argument with people on Facebook and Twitter, and I remember I got the WKRP Season 1. It was some controversy in releasing that, because if you remember WKRP – It was a radio station. It was a rock and roll station. So a lot of times the DJs would be playing Rolling Stones or Deep Purple or, I mean, actual commercial music. Now they go back and put it on DVD, and they have to dub that out. And the classic one was Les Nessman getting ready for a date playing Hot Blooded by Foreigner. And everybody remembers Les Nessman. He's this real geeky guy, and all of a sudden he's getting all, you know, spruced up for this date, and they took that music out, just put generic music in. And that goes back to what you were saying, too, is if you're going to dub out classical music that fits, like the Midnight Express theme really fits the Midnight Express. I mean, this scene, Les Nessman is getting all dolled up, this very conservative, bow-tie-wearing guy. Suddenly, he's hot-blooded, check it and see, and they put in this real generic, I mean, generic music that just totally kills the scene. And I remember, you know, watching that season one of WK. I don't think they even put out the other seasons as well because of the copyright with the music. And it just is killing the show because they have to dub out all that music. Boston, they play Boston. If Johnny Fever was playing Boston, they have to take that out. Anything rock and roll, Kiss, they would take that out. I mean, just totally Ted Nugent. I mean, everything is just gone, like you're saying, with the content, and it just totally changes shows. Because I remember, gosh, even watching the old Crockett shows back in the day when it was largely jobber matches. What did you watch those old 605 Saturday night shows for? You watch the promos, and you like the music. I mean, I loved watching Ric Flair come out and cut his promo, the Horsemen, the Road Warriors, Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express come out and say what they were going to say. And again, I'm thinking back to those shows, Frank, if they ever go back to those 605 shows, the Crockett days, they have to dub all that music out as well. I mean, what is there to really show? I mean, you're really just down to the promo. So we talked about, you know, $9.95. Is it worth $9.95? And certainly if you want to go back to the volume of old pay-per-views, the library that's there, it's great. I mean, one click and you can find Uncensored 1998 and you're there, you're watching it. Or if you can go back and watch an old Starrcade or watch an old Royal Rumble, that's great. But boy, you know, when you're going back and reliving these moments and all the music is gone or certain scenes from those pay-per-views are gone, I think it really loses the effect of the show overall.
Well, yeah. You know, and a lot of it, too, you know, since we talked about this, is I've actually gone and done some research as to what happened as far as, like, why music is changed on when it goes to DVD. Like, what's the story behind that? Well, the story is basically when a television show uses music, say WKRP in Cincinnati, when they were around, they had a specific contract that says they can use that particular song for just the television show for the over-the-air release. Now, when it comes into DVD, they do not have a contract that says, okay, we can put Hot-Blooded, you know, Foreigner's Hot-Blooded on DVD. So, you know, this is where they have to go back if they're going to go and say, hey, Foreigner, can we have permission from you to use this song on the DVD release? Foreigner says, hell no, you can't use it. That's what the bottom line is. But I don't think WWE even puts an effort in to try to get these copyrights. I think they just automatically, because what I heard from Jim Cornette is Vince doesn't like to pay music royalties. So that's the problem that we're at right now. I mean, but Steve, it's funny because it's like they're even dubbing over their own music. That song Together that they did for Randy and Elizabeth for their SummerSlam 91 wedding, right, they dubbed that over on the network. So you're dubbing over your own Jim Johnson, Jimmy Hart, and house music. So it's just, like I said, it kills the entire presentation, because I know for a fact that majority of these songs, if they wanted to get the copyrights to them, I'm pretty sure they could make a deal with the artists, and it would cost them pretty much nothing to do it, because these songs are not worth as much as they were, say, 20 years ago, or longer than that. So I think, is it a good value? Yes. But at $9.95, we're paying the price because we're not getting it unedited, uncensored. You know, we're not getting it like that. So I don't know about anybody else, but I'm filing a Better Business Bureau complaint against WWE for their network false advertising, and see what happens if they change their practices with that. Because I think it totally sucks that they edit everything on there and it just completely just takes you out of the experience. And I want to hear the Midnight Express again, and I think this might be the only way to do it.
A couple thoughts there as well. I know some people that I've, you know, if I put a comment on Facebook of that, the Midnight Express music is gone. I mean, I can't imagine watching Starrcade without the Midnight Express music. And somebody will say, well, you know, they're justified. That's why you get it for $9.99. They take out the music. And what would be the cost if they would, as you said, reach out to all these artists that they would have to give royalties to and say, you know, we want to pay you specifically, or we'll give you the royalties on your music that we're going to use on our network. What would the cost be? And somebody, you know, if tomorrow they do that and they say, okay, you know, the WWE Network is now $14.95 a month, I think Frank D and I still would sign up because, I mean, we can relive all that great music that was so essential to characters and storylines and intros that are now missing from the overall a product now of WWE Network. And another thought I had too, Frank, was, as you were talking here, you know, it is $9.99 a month, but it's a 6-month commitment.
Right.
So again, if you have Netflix for $7.99 a month or $8.99 a month or Hulu or whatever the other subscription services are, you get it for $8.99 a month or whatever the price is. You go month to month. You get it's like a month to month lease on an apartment building. Any month, I give, you know, 30 days, I'm out of here. Well, if I don't like Hulu after a couple of months, let's say Hulu loses its contract with a show that I really like,
right,
or Netflix. I mean, Netflix has lost a lot of its content I've read over time. And
yeah,
so suddenly I say, you know what? I don't want Netflix anymore. Cancel it. Well, I can do that anytime. With the WWE Network, you got $9.99 a month, but it's a 6-month commitment. So after 3 months, if you say, well, you know, I pretty much watch everything I want, I'm kind of done with it. Well, you know, you're still going to be charged those extra 3 months. So it's not a month to month. It is a 6-month commitment to the network.
Right. It's you brought up Netflix. People on Facebook, you know, WWE Network, you know, people are having problems with the Xbox 360 app. It's not working. Like, I'm viewing the network through my PS3. I think, Steve, you're doing it through the Roku or something like that, and it might be your laptop. So you get a lot of the pay-per-view content is there. Well, the Xbox app, the content is not there. The pay-per-views for WCW, ECW, WWE are not on there. They only have the new content from the past year on there as far as pay-per-views go. So a lot of people from Xbox are mad about that. And they're kind of like saying, you know, well, damn, I'm stuck in this 6-month contract. I can't cancel. Well, I think right there, you can have a justifiable reason to cancel this contract, because the moment the WWE didn't live up to their end of the bargain, that's a breach contract. So I would say, you know what, go up there and call your bank. Some, I want to put a stop on this because they're not delivering the content. And they can tout all they want about the Grantland.com piece they had on the network, and Michael Cole can still shill it for $9.99 or whatever it is. Why don't you talk about all the problems going on with the network? Why don't you talk about all the complaints that people have each and every single day about the network? Hey, if the network came out tomorrow and said it's going to be $15 a month, and I can get the footage uncensored and get the footage with the music on there, yes, I would pay $15 a month. Because it's no different than paying $15 or $20 a month for HBO, Starz, Cinemax, whatever. It's no different. But this is professional wrestling content that I want to watch. And so far, WWE, I mean, like I said, it's great to click on there and have all this stuff at a whim's notice, and you can relive the classic moments. But how are you going to relive the classic moments when they take them out? When everything is gone. So that's my beef with the network, Steve. I don't particularly like the music edits. I don't like the fact that they kind of pretty much tipped us into thinking that this thing was going to be, you know, better than sliced bread, and it's not.
And a couple of people have reached out to us as well, and I know what happened to you, where some people were charged $9.99 twice in 1 month.
Right.
So it's probably very important if you're somebody that doesn't, you know, if you're charging it through your credit card or a debit, if you don't check, you know, every transaction, when you get the statement at the end of the month, make sure you're not charged twice.
Right.
Because you might be, because it's happened. A couple people have reached out to me and said, yeah, I got charged $9.99. twice the first month. And I know your experience with customer service, WWE Network, has not been very positive, so.
No, it's not at all. And they don't know what they're doing. WWE touted that we're going to have this world-class customer service. These people don't know nothing. Okay, you ask them a question, and they're dancing around the question. You ask them, hey, just a question. Are you guys going to put up any episodes of Nitro? We don't know any information about that. Here's a list of the content that we're going to have on the network. And I know they got some tribute to the troops coming up and some of that stuff, but damn, man, it's a circle with these people.
Yeah, when I got my initial $9.99 charge, my thought was, I'm a Skype subscriber.
Right.
Every month they send me an invoice so that I could print it out and I have a copy of it.
Right.
Well, that's what I wanted from WWE Network. I wanted them to say, hey, you've been billed $9.99 from WWE Network, so I can go in and make a copy and print it out. So I emailed them that. I said, I'd like to be notified when I'm charged $9.99 for my monthly service, just like Skype would do.
Right.
And I didn't get a reply, and then within a couple of days, I got a survey form from contacting WWE Network. They wanted to know my thoughts on my experience reaching out to the service department, and I thought, you didn't even respond to my email.
Right.
And now I'm getting a survey? Well, what do you think I'm going to say on the survey? I mean, you know.
Probably the same thing I said.
I don't know. I like the content. I like that I can just sit here on my Roku, as you said. You know, I got Roku on my television, actually. And I can just sit here and push a button, and I can start whatever ECW pay-per-view I want to watch, WCW pay-per-view I want to watch, old WWF stuff. But I really don't like the edits on the content, and I agree with Frank. I would, you know, if it's $14.99 a month and I get a chance to listen to the Midnight Express music again and all the music that I, you know, grew up listening to and have come to admire over the years, it's so essential to ring introductions and storylines, and I would pay it. And I don't understand. I mean, they've had how many – I mean, Frank – they said in 2012 they were going to launch this network.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
they had the
yeah. Yeah. I mean, the initial announcement was made in 2011.
I mean, to me, the bottom line is February comes. They just weren't ready. February 2012 came, February 24th or whatever it was. They just weren't ready. They weren't ready for the glitches. They weren't ready for all the platforms they'd have to send the network content to. We had all the streaming issues. Now we're dealing with the edits and, you know, issues. I mean, you were telling me that there was a pay-per-view where they went back and actually took it offline, edited it, and put it back online.
Yeah, took off the other day. Took off WrestleMania 19, Backlash 2002, King of the Ring 2002, Judgment Day 2002. They took off No Way Out 2003. And I'm like, why did they take off these specific shows? Well, I went back and found out why. These specific shows had Hulk Hogan coming out to Voodoo Child, Jimi Hendrix. So somebody forgot to dub it over. So they went back, took the pay-per-views off the network, dubbed it over, put it back on.
So now when you see Hogan coming down to the ring, doing his air guitar or, you know, chop it down, you don't have the music. It doesn't make no sense.
No, they put a sound, but they put a sound-alike song on there. It kind of starts off like Voodoo Child a little bit. So I'll, on our next podcast report, I'll have an update on that, how it sounded.
Yeah. So, again, you know, let us know what your thoughts on the network are. Are you happy with the $9.99, the six-month commitment? Are you happy with the content? Are you happy with, you know, again, whatever platform you're watching? You know, initially when it launched, there was issues with PlayStation on Frank's, and initially there was problems with Roku on my end, and then they kind of updated and fixed it. I know there's Xbox is the one that are still the holdout right now. People with the Xbox are still having trouble.
People with Xbox are having trouble. Some people with the Roku are still having problems. But let me say this right quick, see, because there's a lot of people out there that are going to say that we're might be nitpicking.
Right.
With the music issues and $9.95 this and all that. Well, let me tell you something. Professional wrestling, and as far as music goes, is a huge part of the all-around production of the wrestling business. Music is an integral part of everything. So much that WWE is releasing a DVD called Music of the WWE with Jim Johnson. So that shows you right there how important music is to a specific wrestler's entrance or a specific segment on a TV show. music is a very big part of that. And I, for one, I love seeing stuff in its original form, and that's what I was thought that we were going to get on the network, and we're not getting that. So if they got to raise the price, hey, raise the price, but at least I'll get what I want. I have no problem paying for something as long as I'm getting what I want, what is advertised. What we are getting right now on the WWE Network, it's a great concept, but it's not what we're paying for. We're supposed to be paying for uncensored, unedited, uncut. That is not what WWE is giving us right now at all. So until they do that, I'm going to feel the same way about it tomorrow. And people say, well, why not subscribe? I can subscribe whenever I want to. I can complain about it as much as I want to as well. That's my right to do that. My First Amendment right is free speech. I can complain about anything I want. And that's exactly what I'm going to do every single time until they fix it.
And I think it's going to be interesting, too. I haven't done this as much as I probably should have. Go back to the ECW pay-per-views, because you remember Paul Heyman, his product was hardcore, so he had a lot of heavy metal music.
Yep.
So he's got, what, Pantera, you know, the walk song for RVD. That was his entrance music.
Oh,
he had the Sandman was Metallica's, you know, Enter Sandman.
Yep.
I'm sure all that music is gone now, right?
Yes. They butchered, you know, RVD to, it's like, just put his WWE theme song over the song they gave him on the pay-per-view for ECW. Put it like that. It's just generic garbage that RVD would never come out to. It's just crap. And it makes me not even want to watch the show. That's how bad it is.
I mean, what did? But Back in Black was Chris Candido's theme back in ECW. I mean, they were big into heavy metal music. And you go back and watch those pay-per-views, all that music is gone now.
Yeah, it's just, it's gone.
And I mean, going to what you were saying with music, I mean, it'd be just like, can you imagine Stone Cold without the glass breaking?
Right.
Can you imagine DX without their music, or the NWO, or the old Olympic theme for Kurt Angle?
Oh, but see, that's the thing, see. Up until about maybe 2 years ago, the NWO music was gone. They were dubbing that over. They have two generic versions of the NWO song that they were using. Because at the time, I guess they couldn't use it. I guess WWE, they might, you know, have a copyright hold on the song now or something like that. Because they use it occasionally every time Nash comes back, and they have it now. They need the song because they have to dub over Voodoo Child when Hogan comes out on the pay-per-views. So,
well, I remember the Voodoo Child with WCW. They paid a lot of money for Voodoo Child to go, what, to the Jimi Hendrix estate?
Right.
And get the permission to use, and they paid like six figures, I think, if I remember right.
Yeah.
To use that for like a short period of time, even. It was a short period of time they could actually use that music, but it's so essential. I mean, like I said, I can't imagine, you know, chop it down and Hulk Hogan's got some other music playing at that time. So
even with the NWO Black and White, NWO Rock House is the song, that's what it's called. Even with that cover over Jimi Hendrix's Voodoo Child, and you watch Hogan come out to the ring with it, it still doesn't look right.
What I should ask you, you probably would know, what is the original NWO music, they now own that, or they have the rights to use it?
I believe they own it. I believe they have the copyright to use that song. And because the guy who made the song, his name was Frank Shelley. So I don't know if they bought the song from him out the way just to get it. But they do, for the last, I would say, probably 2.5 years, they've been releasing NWO stuff on the Classics on Demand, DVDs, NWO music is intact.
Okay. So, I mean, if they lose that one, and you go back and dub all that NWO music out.
Oh, they'll do it. Because, they like I said, they got replacement songs right there.
Yep. As you said, if Vince doesn't think that's a priority, then you suffer. That's the way it goes.
Right.
So again, well, you know, let us know what you think of the network, the content, the edits, the value of $9.99. Are you still having troubles streaming it on whatever device you're using? If you're having trouble on the app, on the iPad, let us know. and you can voice your opinion as well. We give it our thoughts. I think we've done the one podcast where we had all the technical issues. The second podcast on it was, you know, talking about the content. We liked it. It's easy to access certain shows whenever we want. And I think in the future, Frank, there's going to be future releases of stuff on the network that's going to appeal to us. I know the one drawback you have is that since you have bought all the WWE DVDs, you know, what they're showing is stuff you already own.
Yeah. I have majority of their stuff that they put out there. So the Beyond the Ring segments don't really do anything for me. I'm much more interested myself in the Legends of Wrestling Roundtable discussions. I think those are pretty cool because I didn't have WWE 24/7 or Crisis on Demand when they were airing these things. So I think that's really cool. Gives you a real good insight on the business from the point of view of people who have lived it. So that's a very, very cool thing to watch on there. And it's actually kind of cool, man, to go back and look at some of those old early Monday Night Raws back in the day, those 93 editions that they're currently playing right now. So, you know, it's different flavors for different folks is pretty much what's up there.
And kind of tying it to what's going on currently with the network, because coming up here in a couple of weeks will be WrestleMania. We believe that they will take away the 7-day trial period when it's WrestleMania week. You won't be able to get the free subscription or free trial to preview the channel and get the WWE WrestleMania 30. Seems pretty logical they won't offer that during that week. And then the question will be, in the future, will they offer the 7-day trial? But I think the big question here, Frank, is, and we've already seen it with, I think it was a WWE main event the first time they did it, there was some issues. I know I had trouble streaming some of the matches live when they were headed from, I think it was Joe Louis Arena the first week. There was live main event. And a lot of people were saying, you know, jump on it and let them test it. And if everybody's watching the live main event, at least they have some idea what's it going to be like when WrestleMania. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to be nothing like it's WrestleMania time. Because who's watching main event? I mean, honestly, nobody's watching main event. The question really will be, will there be streaming issues with WrestleMania 30? Because, you know, you and I are subscribers. There'll be a lot of people will get on the network prior to WrestleMania so that they can see WrestleMania. I mean, for $60, that's what WrestleMania cost, right? So you might as well get the network and then you can watch it. Now the question will be, Frank, will they be able to watch the show unedited, uninterrupted with all the streaming issues once WrestleMania 30 air live, what will be 7 o'clock on in a couple of weeks here? What do you think? Do you think they'll be able to control the capacity of streaming, or do you think there's going to be issues streaming live WrestleMania here in a couple of weeks?
I really honestly think that there's going to be issues streaming live WrestleMania. I really do. So far, I mean, just hearing about all the glitches, I've been hearing about the glitches they had with the NXT Arrival show a few weeks back, and main event. I personally didn't experience any problems with main event when I was watching it. So, and the thing about it too that I don't really like is the fact that I have a pretty good Wi-Fi speed. You know, I'm one of the highest Wi-Fi speeds that Charter offers, and I can't really view the network with my Wi-Fi connection without it lagging and buffering. But if I take my Ethernet cord and stick it in the back of my PS3 and then take it and stick it into the router, it works perfectly fine. So I don't know what the glitch is with that. And that might be kind of the overall, if people are using their Wi-Fi connections to stream the network's live deal or anything on the network, that could be what one of the issues is.
Yeah, I will say occasionally if I'm watching something older, occasionally I'll get it where it'll stream. I remember I was watching Old School, one of the shows. I think it was a Toronto show or something, and I had like two or three matches on it, and each match it would buffer, and it would take a couple minutes or a minute or so to come back up. So I've seen that a few times as well. Again, I would say, you know, it's not running perfectly. The Xbox issues are out there, and now we got the content issues. So again, Gerwick on Twitter, Facebook, Steve Gerwick, Gerwick.net, and also shoot us an email at betweentheropes@hotmail.com. Love to know what your experiences are. As I said, I had a couple people reach out to me with and I'm getting a lot of people that email me about, oh, I've watched this pay-per-view and this was gone, and I can verify it with Frank because Frank's, you know, ended up watching all these pay-per-views and music edits, and then, of course, we had the issue with some people were charged $9.99 twice in 1 month.
Right.
So again, I would definitely encourage you to check your monthly bill, your credit card statement or your debit card, whatever you use to pay for it, to make sure you weren't charged twice. And if you did, you know, definitely reach out and have them correct that before you continue on. But we should move on, Frank. There's a lot of content there about the WWE Network.
Yeah.
Let's go into Ultimate Warrior. It's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by Linda McMahon. Now, I think the last time we talked or before that, Hulk Hogan had a big announcement coming on Raw, and my thought would be Hulk Hogan's going to induct the Ultimate Warrior into the WWE Hall of Fame. I was kind of dumbfounded when they announced Linda McMahon. I would have thought it would be at least a wrestler that would induct Ultimate Warrior. But I guess you have a little bit of the backstory why Ultimate Warrior is going to be inducted by Linda McMahon.
Yeah, from I think in the initial announcement of this, I think I texted you, Steve, and I said, WTF.
What?
So I'm like, what the hell is this? So I actually did some research about it, and Warrior, during his time at the WWF, he was very close to the McMahon family, you know, very close. And that's what dumbfounded a lot of people when they went through their whole legal deal, you know, that Warrior and them had come to, you know, Crossfire. So he has a lot of respect for Vince, has a lot of respect for Linda, and that's first he chose that he wants to be inducted. You know, he wants her to be the one to induct him in the Hall of Fame. And they have the Ultimate Warrior DVD going to come out very shortly, a new DVD that's going to pretty much erase the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. And right now they're on pretty good terms. And, it's a mind-boggling, like, whoa, but it might actually be good in the long run because we haven't seen Linda on WWE TV in a long time. So it'd be kind of cool to see her come out there in Warrior. I'm just kind of curious as to what the Ultimate Warrior is going to wear at the Hall of Fame. Is he going to wear a regular tuxedo, or is he going to wear some stuff with some fringes and tassels? Is he going to come out with his face painted? That's what I'm looking forward to.
And I would think now that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, I don't know, may think they're going to air the self-destruction DVD on the network?
Yeah, probably not.
That was a – they were mad at him at the time, so they produced something, and now they're on good terms again. Well, maybe if they have bad – they have a falling out again, then they could probably
– I don't think they're going to have a falling out. I really don't think so. I think that, you know, Warriors happen to be back in WWE family, and he can continue to do things with them as far as video games go. Make money with them using his likeness because he owns the Warrior likeness. It's a good thing for both of them to have a relationship because they both get something out of it. So if what I understand, I mean, there hasn't been any kind of bad mouth or anything. I mean, Triple H is kind of like the one in charge of mending these fences. And I think so far he's doing a pretty damn good job.
Now, somebody that's been announced for the Hall of Fame that kind of floored me. They actually announced this at the SmackDown tape. They didn't air this on Raw. Carlos Colon is going in the WWE Hall of Fame. He, of course, is the father of Carlito Colon, Carlito Caribbean Cool, and Primo, of course, is his father as well. But I was kind of dumbfounded by this announcement. Not that he's not a deserving person, wrestler. He's been in the business a long time, been very synonymous with wrestling out of Puerto Rico, WWC, he's been his promotion. But I don't know, Frank, when I think of people in the Hall of Fame, I just, there was names that came to mind that should have been in Hall of Fame before Carlos Colon. I mean, we talked about the incident with Bruiser Brody, and I'm surprised that, you know, Bruiser Brody's not in ahead of him. I was thinking like a guy like a Dick the Bruiser, if you want to get somebody that's an older wrestler to put in the Hall of Fame before Mr. Colon here, but I was kind of surprised. I don't know where that one came from. And I know they still have one of his sons that wrestle for the promotion, but I don't know, Frank. I was kind of floored by Carlos Colon going in the Hall of Fame right now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you go from Warrior to Jake to Lita, Paul Bearer, Carlos Colon. Okay. and I mean, personally, yeah, I know the history of the guy. I know his sons. You know, where he's from, WWC, World Wrestling Council, I get all that. But you know what? I can care less. because everything that I've heard about Carlos Salinas has not been good. You know, what I've heard is the guy might have been the one responsible for the murder of Bruiser Brody in Puerto Rico and covered it up. So I'm not thrilled at all about Brody, you know, being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. I think out of all the people that they could have inducted, they could have, you know, they could have got anybody, but they wanted to go with this guy. So, you know, I can care less.
I tell you, Frank, when they announce somebody for the Hall of Fame that's not announced live on Raw, you know it's not a big deal. I mean, it's just what it is.
Right.
And they announced it on a SmackDown taping, and I got word of it. Somebody texted me from the event and said, do you believe they announced Carlos Colon? And I thought, they made an announcement on the SmackDown taping? I mean, that even seems secondary. And I thought, Carlos Colon? I mean, again, you know, we know the history, but I just thought there were people ahead of him that should have got in before Colon. And I was thinking, you know, Frank, when his son first showed up, Carlito, there was a lot of expectation that Carlito was going to be a huge star. They gave him a huge push. You know, great music, entrance music, a cool name, obviously. He was, you know, spitting the apples all the time. As you said, they put him over Cena. They were giving this guy a huge push. And then in the end, I don't know, he really didn't mean anything to him, and he's not done much in wrestling since then.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I mean, they said, you know, Cena to Carlito that first SmackDown, then he showed up and he got the U.S. Championship. And after that, I mean, I don't know. He had the whole Razor Ramon accent going on, and, you know, I don't know. And that's kind of how I looked at Carlito. He was a Razor Ramon wannabe. So.
Now, going back to, as I was alluding to, with the announcement that Hulk Hogan, because I thought Hulk Hogan's big announcement on Raw was going to be that he was going to induct the Ultimate Warrior, but he announced there's going to be an Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania. So again, another match that was confirmed for the event. I think, Frank, this is kind of like the old Money in the Bank where they can get a lot of guys in this match. I don't know, you can do what, 30 guys or 25 or whatever it's going to be, but they're going to get a lot of the undercard guys on the show so they can get their paycheck. I would assume, too, they're going to get a lot of NXT guys probably in this Battle Royal as well, since they're exposing NXT to the network. But the announcement to me was kind of lackluster. I mean, a Battle Royal, I mean, what is a Battle Royal? I mean, only one Battle Royal means anything anymore, and that's the Royal Rumble. And we just had the Royal Rumble a couple months ago. I don't know. I was just not blown away by the announcement that they're going to do a Battle Royal. And then the winner, what is the winner going to get? A trophy?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, Frank. This was kind of a lackluster announcement to me for WrestleMania.
Yeah, it was to me as well. It kind of reminds me of the it reminds me of that WrestleMania 4. You remember the WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal they did, where they got the trophy, Bret Hart, the Bad News, it came to them two at the end.
And breaks the trophy.
I think Bret Hart smashed the trophy or something like that.
Right. Yep.
So that kind of reminds me of what they're doing here, and I guarantee you this Andre Giant Memorial Battle Royal is going to be on the pre-show.
Oh, you don't think it's going to be on the show itself?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's going to be on the pre-show. I think it's going to be because they've done Battle Royals for years before WrestleMania, before the show starts. So, hey, let's just do it this year. Just give it let's just put a Andre and Giant's name behind it to make it sound important.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And as you were saying, Hulk Hogan comes out and cutting this promo about this Battle Royal and talking about slamming Andre the Giant, and that was WrestleMania 3, and you got a lot of today's WWE Universe who don't know who Andre the Giant is, and I can't believe they'd be impressed with this Battle Royal announcement.
Yeah, it was crickets when Hogan made this announcement. That's what I heard Monday night. So, cool to see him in the ring with Cena, though. That was a cool, you know, visual. But that was pretty much it.
And, of course, the big development with the WrestleMania card is that it's getting closer. It's getting to be pretty close to finalized. We're going to know some of the undercard matches. They may do something with the tag titles, the women's matches. We'll know about that here coming up. But I guess they were listening to our podcast, or they were listening to the Yes Movement, or they were listening to a lot of complaints that Daniel Bryan, probably the most overstar they have right now, was going to be saddled with Triple H. Now they announce that if Daniel Bryant beats Triple H at WrestleMania, he'll be in the triple threat match for the main event, which then would be Batista, Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan. I know a lot of, initially people were saying, well, this, they're going to screw Daniel Bryan. He's not going to beat Triple H. But I can't imagine they would book that type of – they would dig this announcement and not give Daniel Bryan the opportunity to at least be in the main event, which is what people want. I mean, they want that moment where he goes over, he gets the championship. So I guess if nothing else, Frank, the Yes Movement has finally worked, and it looks like we're going to get Daniel Bryan in the main event at WrestleMania 30.
Yeah, and it's not really a surprise. I think that with the guy who walked out, it kind of really put a damper in their plans, and they had no choice but to give the people what they want to continue and finally finalize the Daniel Bryan story that started all the way back in SummerSlam and get him the belt at WrestleMania and have that breakout moment for the next night. You know, take the belt from Bryan and on Raw. That's what I think.
Now let's hope if he does get the championship, because he's had the championship before, but let's hope he actually has a reign with the championship. I mean, these short reigns, they don't mean anything. Yeah, you get the pop, but then if you take the title off him right away, what does it really mean?
Well, you know, let's see. Honestly, does the WWE World Heavyweight Championship really mean anything right now?
Well, it is the top belt in wrestling. Let's put it that way. It may not mean as much as it used to, but I mean, if you've got the strap, you're the top dog.
Well, Randy Orton has two straps, and he ain't the top dog.
Well, he is Randy Orton. I don't know. I mean, we've talked about Randy Orton before. Doesn't do a lot for me. I know some people really like Randy Orton. I'd say he's gotten better over the years, but
yeah.
I mean, as a top guy?
No, he's not a top guy, but he's smooth.
I mean, promo work and his ring style and he's that deliberate slow walk to the ring, it's just...
He can't get a promo to save his life.
No, not at all. So I don't think it's surprising that people don't take him really seriously as a champion. I know he's... How many times he had the belt now? I don't know how many times, and it's still... I just... It's hard for me to buy into him as a legitimate world champion.
Right.
And obviously they booked the match with Batista returning. I think they really thought that Batista would catch fire in his return. And they have this really stale main event. They have Batista versus Orton. And I don't know if they initially were going to put Daniel Bryan here. I don't think they were. And I think they expected Batista to catch fire upon returning to the company. And he's just been, I don't know, a lackluster return at best. And they got this really stale main event that not that many people care about. And, hey, we got to do something here. And this is the, I think this is the best solution. Like, some people wanted CM Punk to come back. And I don't think they were going to do that because you can't let the guy walk out of your company, dictate to you what you're going to do, and put him in the triple threat at WrestleMania main event. So I think the best choice is the right choice is put Daniel Bryan in the triple threat.
Yeah, it should have been that way all along. As a matter of fact, it should have been Bryan going for the belt by himself to get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But if you get a triple threat match, it's okay, better than nothing. This WrestleMania here is going to be one of the worst ones I think we've ever seen. And this is the reason why it's free on the network. You know, It's not free, but it's you know, $10 on the network. This is going to suck, man.
I don't know. We've seen a lot of bad WrestleManias already, so.
Sure have.
We'll talk about that in a little bit here, but first I want to talk a little bit about the tournament currently going on. We've got, during the month of March, the greatest IC champion tournament. We're getting close to the Sweet 16 round. Initially, Frank, any major surprises? Anybody surprised that are still alive in the tournament, or anybody that you're surprised is now gone from the tournament?
Not really, no.
I think the one that surprised some people was the last round. Second-seeded Razor Ramon lost to Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, who actually was a 10-seed in this tournament. I like Ricky Steamboat, but he only really had the one run. Wasn't a long reign, but people remember it because, I don't know, it was probably the best WrestleMania match in the history. He beat Randy Savage for the championship at WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, but then he went to work for Crockett, right?
Yeah, so I was surprised that he beat Razor Ramon.
Right. Yeah, and Ramon was a four-time Intercontinental champ.
Yeah, that one really surprised. And then, of course, the one that surprised everybody, was that Owen Hart lost to D'Lo Brown. I have no idea how that happened.
Well, let's go back and take a remember it here. Owen was, how many times was Owen Intercontinental Champ?
Was it twice, I think?
I think it was twice, right?
Yeah, two times, I believe.
As opposed to D'Lo Brown held the belt how many times?
Boy, you're challenging my brain here off the top of my head. Did he have a couple times, too?
I think he might have a couple times. But you remember, D'Lo Brown, I think he was the European champion.
Yes.
And Intercontinental champion at the same time.
You know, when I think of D'Lo, I think of more of that European championship that he
yeah,
has.
Yeah, me too. And how D'Lo can beat Owen Hart, I don't know. That's the problem that we were talking about earlier with the voting. It's just people vote. People can vote anywhere they want to. It's just mind-boggling.
D'Lo actually only had one title for 26 days.
Wow.
And Owen had, let's see here, let me look here. Owen had two reigns for 132 combined days. And I always remember the time he beat Rocky Maivia on Raw when they were doing the big Hart Foundation angle where I believe Brett was in a wheelchair at the time and he was on the ramp with the Bulldog, and Owen went down there and Owen was the heel and Rocky Maivia was the babyface, but Owen beat him clean in the ring and he took the championship belt and he gave it to his brother.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I mean, that was yesterday.
That was a great, great memory I have, you know, going back to that time period. So,
yeah,
that result, I like D'Lo Brown, and he gave us the first interview after he left TNA, and I've got nothing to say positive things about D'Lo. I liked his gimmick, I liked the big chest plate that he had. I liked his Nation of Domination, but I don't know how you can put him over Owen Hart. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I totally get you, Steve. I get all that, but let's just be the bottom line here. Let's just get it out of the way. That doesn't make any damn sense. Owen Hart, losing to D'Lo Brown. Right. Okay, that's like you take, it's like you're taking the Undertaker and letting him lose to, Skinner. or the Berserker. That doesn't make sense. So, I don't know.
Here's what one thing some people were saying was, when I make the announcement of a new match, sometimes I'll tweet it out to whoever is the individual. So I tweeted that out, mentioned D'Lo in the Twitter, and of course D'Lo retweets it.
Yeah.
Which means people that follow D'Lo can go on and check it. So I have the next round was D'Lo versus Val Venus. Both are big time Twitter users, so they both retweeted that they're going head to head, and even though Val Venus has less followers than D'Lo, Val Venus beat D'Lo Brown in the next round. So I don't. People say, well, so and so retweeted it, so yeah, they got their followers out there. I don't know. I mean, Owen Hart is Owen Hart. I mean, he's one of the biggest names in wrestling, and I kind of think maybe Owen Hart won the tournament when we did the greatest heavyweight without a world championship.
Right.
And maybe people just said, well, we don't want him to win this tournament as well. I don't know. That one surprised me. I think what also surprised me a little bit, Frank, was in the first round we had Val Venus beat Jeff Hardy. That's a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, because Hardy was Hardy's super, super over. Or at least he was.
Right.
So that's a mind boggling. I mean, Val Venus, I mean, if you think about the lifespan of Val Venus, he wasn't around that long before he was out of the Federation there. So that's a mind boggling too.
So as we look ahead now, we got Sweet 16 coming up. We've got Christian versus Rowdy Piper. Piper had a lower seed because really only had the one run that he had the championship. Now Christian, kind of synonymous with that IC championship. This was going to be interesting because there's a lot of old school Rowdy Piper fans, and he beat Don Morocco in the first round, but I don't know. Can he beat Christian in the next round?
You know what? that's a tough one.
Yeah, that is a tough one.
That's a
we got,
tough one.
Yeah, we got Goldust versus Jeff Jarrett coming up, which I think will be interesting. The winner of that one will go on to take on Steamboat. So it'll be Jeff Jarrett or Goldust versus Steamboat. We're going to have Jericho versus Morrison, who I would think would be Jericho, and then probably going to be Jericho versus Val Venus in the Sweet 16. Edge defeated Ric Flair. Edge is going to take on Mr. Perfect or Booker T. So I would think Mr. Perfect will go over in that one.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We currently have HBK versus Bulldog, and now that winner is going to take on the winner, and I like how this was set up, Frank. The Hammer versus The Rock in the next round.
Wow. Yeah, are we talking about The Rock, or are we talking about Don Morocco?
Well, we're talking about Rocky Maivia, The Rock, against Greg the Hammer Valentine. So I just like the nicknames here, The Hammer versus The Rock.
Yeah, yeah, I get you.
This should be interesting.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say right now, The Rock all the way. I mean, Valentine was a good IC champ, but hey, man, who's the big star?
I think this was going to come down to, even though...
A lot of people on your website, so you just don't... They're not going to know who Valentine is.
Well, you know, too, in the second round, in the first round, I tried to list everybody's credentials as far as, you know, titles they've won previously. Now, this round, I'm trying to point out that how many title reigns they've had, how many total days they had held the championship. I mean, you look at the annals of the IC Championship, Pedro Morales held the title for 619 days. That's number one overall. But in the second round, he lost to RVD.
Right.
I mean, today, more people know RVD than they know Pedro Morales, even though Pedro Morales is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
RVD is going to take on the winner of Benoit versus Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah, that one, I'm going to have to go with the Honky Tonk Man.
And I would agree with you as well. One that's very interesting, too, also in the next round, Macho Man versus Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, I'll go with Savage. No doubt.
We also have Rick Rude. He's going to take – he went from the world-class days, beat the Texas Tornado, and now he's going to take on another world-class hero, legend, the Ultimate Warrior in the next round.
Wow. Wow.
That's a tough one.
That is damn tough. Wow.
The guy who put the IC Championship on his tights.
Against the guy who lost the belt at WrestleMania 5. So this guy.
That's a toss-up. I don't know. I think I would pick Rude because of his longevity that he had. You know, thinking back to World Class, and then he was in WCW, WWF. But I know the Ultimate Warrior has his fan base out there.
Yeah, he does.
So it's going to be interesting.
A lot of people.
And, of course, whoever wins that one goes on to take on Triple H, who in the last round had a tough one against Kurt Angle. But in the end, it's Trips. So it's potentially Trips versus Ultimate Warrior, Trips versus Rick Rude. Who do you like there? Do you think Trips beats either of those guys?
I think that the Triple H IC title – here's the deal. Triple H was a great IC champion.
Yes.
Triple H was, I mean, for the guy gets a lot of flack from the people about this and about that, but you can't knock the guy's credentials. And a lot of people will say, see, that Triple H got everything he has because of Stephanie, which is a bunch of BS. The guy was winning Intercontinental Championships. I believe he was even a European champ at one point as well. I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Let me think back. In the original DX, was it Shawn who was the European champion, or was it Triple H?
I think maybe it was Shawn, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been Shawn. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Shawn.
But either way it goes, the guy was a good Intercontinental champion. And
five-time IC champion, actually.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
Five-time IC champion. I mean, you can't. I mean, who has the most title? Who has the most reigns after that? I think he comes.
Well, actually, reliving history. Triple H had two runs as European champion.
Right.
So, I mean, at one time, the European championship really did mean something.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And then, I don't know. It just became a joke.
Well, if you go by most reigns, Chris Jericho had 9 reigns as IC champion. Okay. Jeff Jarrett and RVD both had 6 reigns as IC champ. So maybe, you know, RVD having 6 reigns trumps 619 days as champion, because you had RVD beat Pedro Morales in the second round.
Right.
And then you got Triple H and Edge are tied with second place, or actually third place, with 5 IC title runs. So, I mean, there's some big names here. Jeff Jarrett, some people might laugh at Jeff Jarrett, but he had 6 reigns as champion.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Why do people laugh at Jeff Jarrett?
that could be another podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I know the whole TNA deal. I get that. And I get the whole him being world champion for WCW. I understand that. But as far as, you know, working for Vince and being a work, I mean, Intercontinental Championship was a workhorse title. I mean, you know, you had champions like Mr. Perfect. You had people like Bret Hart, Matt Hart, Shawn Michaels. This was a championship that elevated, you know, a guy like Bret Hart, Matt Hart, who may have not been the size of a Hulk Hogan, but this is the championship that elevated him to the WWF championship, though. And it's a guy like Roddy Piper, who really never held belts. He was an Intercontinental champion. I don't ever remember Hogan ever carrying that belt.
No, nope, never
Savage,
had.
Savage did, you know. Nope. So, I mean, even Ric Flair.
Ric Flair had it for a time, yeah.
I think it was Carlito. he did a match against there. Now that I think about it. So, yeah. It's, you know, it's very interesting that, you know, at one point in time, this championship belt, which was the workhorse belt of the WWE, was more important than the WWF championship. And then I look at it today, and it's pretty sad that this title means nothing. And maybe once they put the belt on a guy like, you know, Antonio Cesaro or somebody like that, it'll start to mean something. I mean, it means nothing with Big E, like I said, champion right now.
I think to a larger degree, they just switch the titles too much to mean anything.
Yeah.
I mean, when I look at how many total days, so you have one reign 26 days or one day 39 days. I mean,
right.
You had days where, I mean, Honky Tonk Man had it for a year and 2 months?
Right.
13 months, something like that. Yeah. I mean, what would happen if somebody won it at WrestleMania and held it on to the next WrestleMania?
I mean, Steve, I mean, here's the thing, like you just mentioned right there. I mean, I remember, you know, reading about house shows back in the day where Honky Tonk Man and Macho Man were headlining main eventing shows for the IC belt.
Right.
You would never see on a house show today in the current WWE where the Intercontinental Championship belt would be the main event match.
No.
That would never happen. Because the belts don't mean anything. Just like the belts, just like the World Heavyweight Championship right now doesn't mean anything either. I mean, you did the pay-per-view, what was the TLC, where you unified the belts, you saw the buy rate, how much people cared about that.
Yeah.
So.
And you were talking how, like, when Brett won the championship.
Right.
They had just broken him off as a tag. You know, he was tagging with his brother-in-law, Neidhart, and they put that IC championship on him, and that really meant something, because that meant they were really going to push him as a single star. He was a tag team wrestler initially.
Right.
And even though he was a smaller guy, he could definitely work, so you give him the IC championship. It definitely elevated him. And then, obviously, going back to that Brett versus Shawn DVD, we know when Shawn Michaels got the IC championship.
Yep.
That these were two smaller tag team wrestler type, you know, individuals, but suddenly you put the IC championship, you put a little importance on it, you give them a push, and yeah, I mean, those titles elevated both of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, you go throughout the 80s, man, when Savage, Steamboat, Honky Tonk Man, Rick Rude, Warrior, through the 90s with Piper, you know, Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels, British Bulldog, Ahmed Johnson, Goldust, Razor Ramon, Rocky Maivia, Hunter Helmsley. This is a point in time when the Intercontinental Championship was the most important in the business. And I think pretty much after the year 2000, and it's kind of when it started losing its luster a little bit.
Now, something I know we want to talk about, you know, briefly, and then we'll get on to some discussion on WrestleManias, is as we tie it together with current voting at Gerwick.net, is that this month we have Diamond Dallas Page is the on the ballot for the Hall of Fame. And initially when I put him on the ballot, Frank, he was over 80%. And the last week or so, he's been between about 61 and 63%. So seems unlikely today, March the 17th, that he's going to get into the Hall of Fame. And it's kind of mind-boggling. I said it before, I was never a huge DDP fan, but I think you have to respect the guy. He was a great manager in the AWA. He got into the ring late in his career, and he still had great success. WCW World Champion several times, worked some of the most high-profile matches in WCW history. And, you know, as we do this podcast, and he doesn't look like he's going to get in, I am kind of baffled because, you know, I think he is – I'm not going to say he's a no-brainer because I think you can always make the argument against. And I guess there's those that are not huge GDP fans, but I just think on his resume and what he's accomplished and said alone that he has put Jake the Snake and Scott Hall back on positive vibes now in their lives. I mean, one's going to get in the Hall of Fame and maybe the other one will at some point as well. Save their lives, and I mean not careers, but save their lives, that I'm a little surprised that DDP is not getting a better response voting on Gerwick.net.
Yeah, it's very, very surprising to me as well. Just like previous votes for other people have surprised me that you would think these people are shoo-ins, they don't get in. So I don't know what's going on with that, you know, but everybody's entitled to their own opinion. But I think that there's just a lot of people out there that just don't want to give the guys just due. As I was saying earlier, just like Triple H, people don't want to give Triple H's just due either. And, you know, the people I'm talking about are the ones that are the, you know, the CM Punk followers, you know, that want to chant CM Punk for a guy who walked out on them, but won't give a guy like Diamond Dallas Page the respect that he deserves for saving two guys' lives and all the positive stuff that he does, and the fact that this guy was one of the biggest stars the business ever saw, especially in the WCW. You know, so, I mean, I just don't get it.
And obviously, too, if people credit his yoga, I know a lot of the stars of past days, I think it was even Scotty Riggs says he does yoga. I mean, how many people have said, you know, that yoga has turned their lives around, they lost weight, and they have more a positive opinion of themselves because they are losing the weight, and it's tremendous. But I think with the voting, Frank, and I know some people say we should take the voting away from the readers. What I say about this is, you know, when we started the Hall of Fame in 2007, I put in guys who I thought were the no-brainers. Bret Hart, Ric Flair, Bobby Heenan, the Road Warriors. I mean, those were no-brainers. And then from there, we've had people vote everybody else in. So you got Steve Austin was voted in. Shawn Michaels was voted in. Triple H was voted in. The Undertaker was voted in. Eddie Guerrero was voted in. So I think as you look at the annals of wrestling history, those that should be in are in, and they were voted in after the initial inductions by me, the webmaster. Now I think as we've gone since 2007, now it's 2014, as you see every month, the people getting on the ballot are not no-brainers. Maybe some people think CM Punk is a no-brainer, he should be in. Maybe some people think DDP is a no-brainer, he should be in. Some people think Larry Zbysko is a no-brainer, he should be in. But I think when you measure it and people are voting on it and people don't see these guys as no-brainers now, because I think the people that are no-brainers are in the Hall of Fame. You can go to my list on Gerwick.net and check the Hall of Famers. Jim Ross, Paul Bearer. I mean, the guys who should be in Randy Savage, the guys who should be in my Hall of Fame are in my Hall of Fame. Now you got people that are a little more in the gray area. Maybe some say they're closer to yes than no. But again, you know, we got 70% as the threshold. And I wanted it that high because I wanted the people that really belonged in to be in. I don't want, and no offense to the guy, Frank, I don't want Coco Beware in my Hall of Fame. I like the guy. He was entertaining. But do I think Coco Beware is a Hall of Famer? Absolutely not. Not even close.
No.
And yet he's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's in there, and so is Refrigerator Perry. So.
So what I wanted to do, Frank, with my Hall of Fame was weed out those people that are borderline, that don't really belong there. And I think maybe I could evaluate it. Maybe I should put down like 65%. But what I wanted to do was get the people who absolutely belonged in the Hall of Fame in the Hall of Fame. And those that don't belong in the Hall of Fame, I mean, just because you like a guy or you're entertained by a guy doesn't mean they're necessarily a Hall of Famer.
Right. Yeah, I totally understand that. It's all about the elite in the business.
That's what it is. My Hall of Fame was for the elite.
Yeah, and in my opinion, Diamond Dallas Page is part of the elite.
I agree.
Successful at a time, the guy was not supposed to happen. You know, went from manager to color commentator to wrestler. He went on to be a guy who was at the power plant until it closed, and back the next day doing it. This guy did people talk about feuds in wrestling, and this was one of the most intense rivalries I ever saw was the one he did with Randy Savage in WCW.
Right.
So, give the guys due.
Yeah, I would say if you voted no, I mean, you got time now between the end of the month. Maybe you want to reconsider. I'm not trying to, you know, persuade people's votes, but, you know, maybe just think about it a little bit. Go to a history of DDP, go to Wikipedia, go to my profile, and look at all the matches he's had. I was thinking the one he did with Jay Leno that got him a lot of attention. You know, that was a high-profile match. Dennis Rodman. So, you know, maybe these are things you're just not thinking of when you think of DDP. Maybe you just didn't think he was a good wrestler.
Yeah, and to make your mind up.
I think some people were critical of his work, too, because if you know DDP, usually he planned out his matches almost, you know, move by move.
Right.
So maybe some people were more critical and thought, you know, maybe, you know, working in the ring was a little more important than a totally scripted matches. But some of the people that he worked with, he had to script out the matches. So,
well, hey, listen, Randy Savage did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Savage planned out every moment and every spot in his match.
Yeah.
And that's why he came off focus.
Give him some credit for having the psychologist thinking this, you know, what's the reaction going to be of this move? What's the reaction of this move? Where do we go from here that's going to make sense in this match?
Yeah, he learned up with Jake Roberts.
Right. I think we lose so much today is the psychology of wrestling anymore. You know, it's so important.
Everybody wants to do a spot fest. Well, you don't have to do a spot fest. Just slow it down and tell the story.
Right. You're telling the story in the ring, as we've heard so many times before. So, but you still have time for DDP for the month of March. He is currently on the ballot. So, again, vote yes or no on DDP, and also vote on the Greatest Intercontinental Champion Tournament. That's how the NCAA just announced their tournament, so we're going along with their tournament as well.
Oh, they copied us.
we may be about the Sweet 16 by the time they start their tournament this week, so we'll have the big names still surviving, and it's going to be interesting to see who is our final four once we get that far. So, again, vote at GERWIC.net.